Angus at Work, a podcast for the profit-minded cattleman. Brought to you by the Angus Beef Bulletin, we have news and information on health, nutrition, marketing, genetics, and management. So, let's get to work, shall we? Welcome to Angus at Work. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Casey Brown. A quick fix rarely fixes anything. As much as we don't want it to, that quick fix usually affects a lot more than we intended. Like putting some wire on a gate, but it still broke, and the heifers got out, and then they got bred by the neighbor's scruffy bull. Any decision on the ranch has potential to have both short and long-term effects on production and profitability. The trick is to make decisions that prevent those unintended consequences, because there's no doubt that the cattle business is volatile, and those willing to adapt are going to be those who survive challenging times. Now, I'm not saying this to induce decision paralysis. I bring this up because today's experts help us avoid those unintended consequences by thinking in a systems approach. Doctors Ryan Rhodes and Hector Menendez say a lot of cattlemen already do this in some form or another, but they can help us be more intentional about it, and that can help us in the long run. So, let's dig in. Tell me a little bit about your background in the beef industry.
So, Ryan Rhodes here, associate professor, beef extension specialist at Colorado State University. Been there for 5 years, and prior to that, I was faculty for 6 years at King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management. And that's where developed this passion or skill set, I guess, if you will, for thinking in systems. It was kind of the foundation of everything there. So, yeah, that's about me.
All right, Hector, tell us about you.
Sure. So, I am faculty here at South Dakota State University. I'm an assistant professor with the Department of Animal Science, and I have been here for about a year. So, I'm a state livestock grazing specialist, and in that role, I get to interact with producers, and I really enjoy that extension component. But also, we have a heavy research component, or I have a heavy research component at the Cottonwood Field Station, and we're really pushing using systems, the integration of different precision technologies, producer experiences, to advance the beef cattle industry, especially in western rangeland systems. So my background includes a BS in animal science, and that started in Texas. And that journey eventually led me through working for the Texas Department of Agriculture, Texas A&M University. I graduated here from South Dakota State University and then did a postdoc at Texas A&M with a beef cattle nutritionist. And having that kind of combination of modeling experience enabled me to fill a role here in South Dakota as a systems expert in beef cattle systems. Yep.
All right. I love this because I am also an Aggie, so this is going to be a great podcast.
Well, mine's just the postdoc. So.
Well, that's all right. So tell me a little bit about why producers should kind of think in a systems manner. You talked about unintended consequences and how everyone knows this is a complex industry. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So our world, as you know, is becoming increasingly complex, especially given the data-driven or technology-based nature of the industry. And so as producers are given more information and face new challenges, whether that be drought or climate or political, they need to know how to connect the dots and be able to still maintain a profitable and sustainable operation. And I would add that the growing consumer demand and perception playing such a strong role, like Dr. Blair in her presentation earlier today mentioned, a picture's worth a thousand words. And so I think the rancher, the 21st century rancher, has been faced with more information and more challenges than ever before. And so bringing a systems approach can help address that complexity and bring clarity to problems that might be persisting, like these drought challenges of cattle destocking. Ryan, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, we talked about some of the big trends going on in the industry, whether it's variation in profitability from place to place, or it's increased regulations, increased complexity, increased volatility in markets. It just seems like every day producers are faced with greater financial and production risks in a very complex environment. And we tend to, in agriculture, create solutions that are oftentimes linear in nature, right? And we forget about the unintended consequences and the feedback loops and all the things that are inherent to very complex systems. And so that's really why we believe thinking of these sort of adaptive challenges in a systems thinking format really allows you to create more effective leverage points and solutions.
Can you give me some examples of some of those unintended consequences where you're trying to address this problem and then it snowballs? Tell me some more about that.
Sure. So really a simple one biologically is just the unintended consequence of overgrazing. And so you can maintain profit margins. We have a long 80-year study that shows, well, if you graze heavy, you still might be able to maintain your grass production and have, you know, the margins are close. But in these systems where there's increasing volatility, not thinking about the long-term effects of how you're grazing today is going to affect your ability to capture snowpack, how that ties into soil temperature, soil moisture, which all feeds back into plant regrowth. And so producers who are continually eroding their capacity for their rangelands are actually eroding their profit margins because the grass becomes that more much more sensitive. And so that can be an unintended consequence of overgrazing. There's also things like burning the midnight oil. So take fixes that backfire, which is a systems archetype principle. And a producer with a labor shortage might just say, oh, well, I can burn that midnight oil and work extra hard during a calving season or breeding season. But there can be things unintended like family stress, different dynamics, or just being burnt out. And those unintended consequences can lead to other difficulties in terms of ranch life.
I think, Ryan, you had talked about how break-even costs can change because of destocking. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so in our example, and Hector mentioned some archetypes, so one that's very common in ranching, seems to fit almost all examples, is this idea of shifting the burden, right? And so what happens is again, we get into these quick fixes. And so in our example today was feeding cows in the face of feed shortages, right? And so really we've got two decisions to make, and that's either culling cows, reducing the size of our herd to address a feed shortage, or buying feed at what is now elevated prices. And so both of those things are what we would call quick fixes to that problem. And really, what we want to do is get into a situation where we're, you know, longer term, implementing better grazing management practices, for instance, right? That hopefully that by doing that, we increase our feed resources over time. So we're not in these feed shortage situations. But unfortunately, going back to unintended consequences, these quick fixes create unintended consequences, such as if I'm selling cows on a suppressed market, I have to buy those cows back eventually at an elevated price. And now I'm in a situation where the unintended consequences, now my cow break-even costs have elevated, making it hard for me as an operation to get to that longer-term solution, right? Or on the other side, purchasing feed. So now I've elevated feed costs. Again, eroding capital, I think, is what we use today, which makes it harder to get to that longer-term solution.
And we all know every operation is different, but you gave a lot of great examples on what are some options that producers should think through or things that are available to them.
Sure. So let me cue this one up for Ryan is that before we get into the specific options, it's really worth it to invest the time in exploring these things. And I think that's one of the main things we want to drive home to producers is the time it takes, the cost of planning and exploring these different options is nominal compared to the cost in terms of production and loss of profitability. And so, Ryan, I'll hand it over to you to talk about those different options.
So if we think about the decision to cull cows to, again, alleviate our feed shortage concerns, and thinking back to the unintended consequence of elevated break-even costs in our cow herd, we really need to take the time, right, to sit down and evaluate a destocking strategy, is if that's the way we want to go. The unintended consequence of destocking is this idea of stocking rate relative to our fixed cost structure. And we talked about today that on most ranches, the fixed cost structure accounts for, you know, 60, 61, 62% of total costs. And those fixed costs, once we've decided to invest in the assets, are hard to change. And so as we destock, there's not as many units to cover those fixed costs. And so our per cow costs are elevated because of that. So that's one example of you know, taking the time to analyze it before you get 2 years down the road and all of a sudden we're not stocked appropriately, our fixed costs are still the same, and how did my cow costs get so out of control, right? Well, that's the unintended consequence there. On the feeding side, we talked about, if range grazing is still in play, thinking about being strategic about our supplementation program that complements that range grazing piece, evaluating our options based on dollars per pound of crude protein, and not necessarily buying whatever's cheapest, you know, at the store, because in the end it ends up being more expensive. On the managing cows differently piece, we looked at if range grazing isn't an option, hey, let's think outside the box and look at maybe a dry lot limit feeding situation for our cows. And the analysis that we ran, given prices of commodities in Colorado, suggested that might be a pretty economical situation to look at. It does require a different set of resources and equipment and more intensive management, but it's definitely an option to look at long term. And then if dry lotting is not an option, then we also looked at a situation where we try to source some lower quality forages like corn stalk bales or oat hay or wheat straw or something like that, and supplement that with a dried distillers grain supplement for protein. And that looked like that was pretty economical too. Versus, I think the point was, hay is expensive, right? And so don't just, because you bought hay in the past, don't be adaptable, right? We also talked about that. Don't, what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. And so just leave your options open, create some flexibility in your system is kind of the point. So
aren't the most dangerous words, well, we've always done it this way, right?
Yeah.
So if cattlemen want to learn more about a systems approach, what are some resources that might be available, or who should they contact?
Sure. So I think producers are more than welcome to contact Dr. Rhodes or myself as a starting point to say, hey, I have a persistent problem that I'm faced with year after year. Or maybe they realize, oh yeah, this is me and this drought operation every time it's a drought. And so if there is those type of problems that they can't really seem to put their finger on, we'd be happy to visit with them. Also, on both of our online websites, there are different publication and extension material as just an introduction to systems to be able to read about that in the context of beef cattle production. And so those would be two great resources to start.
Perfect.
And I would add that, you know, in general, most people in ranching are naturally systems thinkers, right? We just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. The difference is there's actually a process behind thinking systematically, right? And there are some places, not very many, there are some places where you can learn that process. The only one I know of is the King Ranch Institute has a lectureship on systems thinking. It's a 4-day deal, and you learn that process of thinking through a problem systematically, right, and finding leverage points and whatnot, and that's all it is. But we naturally think that way. It's just we don't ever think of a problem through a process, right, and actually map it out and write it down.
Well, we all know that the cattle business is really the people business, so I like to end on a high note. Tell me something good that has happened either personally or professionally. It could be anything.
Yeah, so personally, I have a 3-month-old daughter named Irene that and I'm thankful that I get to work in South Dakota. That's one of the last areas with huge intact grasslands. and having a role in preserving those and preserving the beef cattle community and rangeland community for her to enjoy, hopefully in the future, is I'm quite thankful for it.
I love that.
So I'll go professionally. So we have a program I described to everybody today called TRAC, Total Ranch Analysis, for Colorado, and we go around the state, 30 ranches in our network, and we visit with folks and collect their financial and production data and have conversations about how they can be more profitable to add to sustainability, to generational transfer and things like that, all those things that are important. And so last couple of weeks, I've gotten to go on, you know, several visits and sit down with folks and have kitchen table conversations. And it's really neat. It's really impactful when you can show people that, no, if you can make money doing this, right? You can make money in this business, and you just have to have the information to make those decisions, right? And so that's fun for me. So
I love that. Well, thank you both so much for your time. Thank you for joining us at Range Beef Cow.
If you want to learn more about this topic, check out the great article by Troy Smith that ran in the Angus Beef Bulletin Extra. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. We welcome you to check out our other print and digital content geared to make Angus work for you. You can subscribe to the Angus Beef Bulletin and the Angus Beef Bulletin Extra at angusbeefbulletin.com/extra. And check out that pull-down menu at the top right. This topic is a great introduction to our Feeder Calf Marketing Guide, which is all about what affects the prices you get for your calves. It will hit mailboxes in early June, and we are so excited for you to see it. And we always welcome your feedback. We'd love it if you would rate or review this podcast or share it with other profit-minded cattlemen. I really appreciate your time listening. This has been Angus at Work.